Member Week is here at Lowe's. That means it's time for My Lowe's Rewards members to save big with up to 40% off hundreds of items like appliances, tools, home essentials, and more. Plus, get free standard shipping. Shop these exclusive member-only savings now through October 15th. Not a rewards member? Join for free today. Free standard shipping not available in Alaska and Hawaii. Exclusions and more terms apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
This fall, fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at minkycouture.com.
How bad is the situation at Sheffield Wednesday?
Wednesday are just in disarray, and it's all down to the one man at the top.
What did Villa do to turn their rotten results around?
He was particularly great against Feyenoord in the Europa League.
And why are Manchester United underperforming their XG by so much?
Bruno Fernandes has smashed it high and wide. That is an ugly one.
Hello, I'm Ian McIntosh. This is Football Fast, No Faff. Let's go Route 1 in association with Jolson. Well, at the start of the season, we, like many other outlets, ran a story about the plight of Sheffield Wednesday, and we ended it, like many other outlets, by expressing our hope that the situation would resolve itself swiftly. Sadly, this has not been the case. Last week was payday at Sheffield Wednesday in name only. Multiple players and staff members went unpaid. A fans' protest disrupted the 5-0 defeat to Coventry. And yesterday, the Sheffield Star reported that coach Andy Parslow had resigned for the entirely understandable reason that the man has a family to support. Throughout it all, the players and staff have been magnificent. Led by club legend Barry Bannon, they were within seconds of beating Birmingham City last month. But the fact remains, they have only won a single game this season, and relegation to the third flight looks inevitable. Owner Deipan Chansiri, who took control of the club in 2015, has gone silent. He's previously claimed to have rejected two recent bids for the club, worth £30 and £40 million, fees felt by some to be more than appropriate for an organisation broken by debt and housed in a stadium that needs serious and expensive work. An independent football regulator has just been appointed, one David Cogan, and Sheffield Wednesday's plight is likely to be at the top of his to-do list. Joe Cran writes for the Sheffield Star. Joe, how bad is this, and is there any real sign of hope?
In short, very bad, and no sign of hope. Sheffield Wednesday are just a club in crisis, chaos, whatever you want to call it at this point in time. I've been doing this job a long time, and I've never covered anything like this, not all at once. You know, to be embargoed for six different reasons is unheard of. It's a, you know, an unwanted record that Sheffield Wednesday have now set. And, you know, it's hard to see that being beaten as well. Wednesday are just in disarray, and it's all down to the one man at the top. And I think that's the saddest thing about it, is that the one person that can save Sheffield Wednesday at this point in time is the one man that is destroying it. We've got to wait. I think the only hope at this point is the independent football regulator. It's where a lot of Sheffield Wednesday fans are pinning their hopes. Obviously, there's been the appointments this week, which just moved things forward a little bit. I think a lot of Wednesday fans are waiting for November to come around, like I say, in the hope that something happens, because it's been 5 out of the last 7 months that wages have been a problem. And, you know, it's more newsworthy at this point when they do get paid than when they don't. So I think that's an indicator of where Sheffield Wednesday are at the moment. And like I say, there's unfortunately no end in sight on that front.
You can check out Joe Cran at the Sheffield Star. And if you go to the episode description, you'll see where you can follow him on Twitter. Yes, we Cran. Starting a new business can be incredibly daunting. I've done it 3 times now. It still gives me the heebie-jeebies. However, my most recent venture, this one, was a lot less stressful thanks to Jolson. They're a B Corp certified commercial law firm, which means they're committed to using their business as a force for good through their social and environmental performance, while, you know, also being really, really good at what they do. From startup to exit and everything in between, they've worked with brands like Innocent, Proper, Addison Lee, Tenzing, and Lucky Saint, to name just a few. And Jolson are offering 10 listeners of this podcast a free legal consultation with one of their lawyers on issues relating to fundraising, IP, manufacturing, partnership agreements, or employment issues. Visit www.jolsonlaw.com/route1 to submit your request. Jolson guided us through company setup, investment, shareholder agreements, all the legal stuff that, I'll be quite honest, it terrifies me. So if you want stress-free expert legal advice for your business, check out www.jolsonlaw.com, who are proud sponsors of this week's Route 1, and you'll find all of those details in the episode description. Back in September, we spoke to ESPN's Sam Tye about Aston Villa and their wretched start to the season. You may recall they failed to score in their first four matches, failed to win any of their first six, and now they've quietly popped themselves back on the tracks. They beat Bologna in the Europa League. They came back from a goal down to secure a fine win against Fulham. They followed that up with a win against Feyenoord, and then on Sunday they beat Burnley too. So what happened? Did something change, or did they just start getting the rub of the green? Let's ask Sam Tye again.
Look, some of this turnaround is just natural. Good players do not turn permanently bad overnight, so a rebound was going to happen. But if there was a catalyst for this, it was probably the reintroduction of Pau Torres to the team. He subbed on against Fulham due to an injury to Tyrone Mings and completely changed the way the team was able to play thanks to his ball-playing ability from the back. And with him feeding passes forward and recycling it cleanly, suddenly Villa just kind of looked like Villa again and were able to build confidence in the games ahead. He was particularly great against Feyenoord in the Europa League, as his ability to break the press was absolutely essential to victory. It's not all him. Others have obviously contributed. And I'll say that Boubacar Camara is always amazing, thoroughly underrated. And Matty Cash has perked up massively as well, which has pleased the fans. Morgan Rodgers started this season terribly, but he is slowly finding his feet. But this whole turnaround and these four wins on the spin, I think they directly correlate with Pau Torres' return to the team.
And you can find more from Sam over on ESPN FC. It's the international break, and so we're taking the opportunity to take stock of the season so far, and we are doing it through the medium of statistics. Now, if that sounds dull, I understand. But you can make anything sound good with the right soundtrack. Welcome to Heavy Metal Football Statistics. Producer Helena, ready your axe. We're looking at goal scoring today, though we'll start with the lack of goal scoring and my favourite metric, G-XG, or in other words, how many goals are you scoring and how many goals should you be scoring? And Manchester United continue to lead the way when it comes to profligacy. If we're talking about wasting chances, they're in a class of their own across the big five leagues. They should have scored 6.6 more goals this season than they've actually scored. They're outliers. They're 30% more profligate than their nearest contenders for this inglorious prize. So, are Manchester United terribly unlucky? And have we all been nasty to Ruben Amorim without just cause? Well, sort of. I checked back through their games and they have marginally underscored in every match this season, apart from the wins against Chelsea and Sunderland, where they marginally overscored. The biggest discrepancy was Arsenal on day one, where they put 1.5 in the XG column and still drew a blank. They were also 1.2 off against Man City and 1.1 off against Brentford, most of which was Bruno Fernandes' missed penalty. And remember, he missed one against Fulham too. So, what does it mean? Well, take off those missed penalties and they'd be joint second with Hellas Verona, so it is still certainly a steady drip-drip of minor-level bad luck for Amorim. But it's also worth remembering that XG is a better long-term metric than short-term as, and here's the glorious moment where the parlance of the proper football man and the statistician overlap, these things do tend to even themselves out eventually. But just in case you're a United fan and you felt a glimmer of hope there, beware. The XG against makes difficult reading. Good teams, like league leaders Arsenal, generally don't give away more than one XG a game. Arsenal have only done that once this season, and ironically, it was against Manchester United. Well, United are the opposite of Arsenal. They've only kept that number underneath one twice, once against Sunderland and once against 10-man Chelsea. So yes, United should be scoring more goals, but it doesn't really matter because they're giving up way too many chances to be considered a serious contender for even a top eight finish right now. On an individual level, Union Berlin's Andre Ilitch continues to plough his lonely furrow across barren land. He should have scored more than three goals this season. He remains empty-handed. Santiago Jimenez at Milan is having a stinker too. 16 shots, no goals. He's the second most wasteful forward in the big five leagues. And now, if you think Crystal Palace have peaked, think again. Jean-Philippe Mateta hasn't found his range yet. He should have scored two more goals than he's managed thus far. So Palace, you can argue, have still got a lot to give even now. Who's overperforming though? That's what we want. Who's scoring more goals than they should? Well, it's only Harry Kane, isn't it? He's on a hot streak. He scored 11, but apparently he should only have scored 6. Can Özcan of Eintracht Frankfurt. We spoke about him the other week. I tuned into his next Champions League game specifically to watch him. He was rubbish. Got hooked after an hour. He's 3.6 over his level. He's not really rubbish. I just caught him on a bad day. And there's a new face in the top three. The most overperforming goal scorer in the Premier League right now. It's Moyes Caicedo. That one he hit against Liverpool was such an improbable goal, he's roared up the charts. And they were your heavy metal football statistics. That was Route 1. It was football fast, no faff. It's here every weekday about 3 p.m. If you like it, give it a follow. And if you really like it, give it a review. I've been Ian McIntosh. Your audio producer was Helena Fremantle. Your video editor was Dean Thrussell. Your video producer was Sean Nicholas. Lola Katz Roberts and Sophie Manners were on socials. See you tomorrow.
That was absolutely unreal.